once went to a bar mitzvah of a relative, and I was going to speak. I was asked to speak, and I had the sefer, and I thought I could find the good drasha from the sefer, and it didn't go well for me. But for example, in the Mishnayis, okay, in the Mishnayis, it tells you all the times you have in Shisha Sidrei Mishnah the number 13. Every place you find in the Gemara the number 13. Every place you find the Medrash number 13. Every time you find in the Zohar the number 13. Every time you find in the Rokeach is a big number person. Rav Chol knows this. Rav Chol is very bucky in the Rokeach. Every time you have the number 13 in the Rokeach, every time in the Sifrei Rishonim and the Sifrei Achrayim, yes, your collection, it looks like, who knows how many, 200, 300 different examples, and then the Sefer,
the goes, don't like 13.
He goes through the number, yeah, the time, they don't like the number 13, the Goyim?
No.
Okay. Superstitious.
Okay, I wasn't aware. Elevator, which floor in the elevator?
13.
13. There's no 13 in elevator.
Friday
the 13th.
Many buildings don't have a 13th.
Okay, I didn't know. I didn't put the two together. Very
Friday,
good.
Friday the 13th is because of Yashka.
Because of Yashka. It's not because of number 13 per se. Okay, the number 13 obviously is obviously in halacha is a major concept. Look, what do you look right in our yadus? There are the Yud Gimel Midois Shehatayra Nidreshes. We're supposed to say this every single day after Kurbanis, before Mizmashir. The Yud Gimel Midois Shehatayra Nidreshes. A bar mitzvah boy is bar mitzvah when he's 13 years old. What more do we want than that? And we have the Yud Gimel Midois Horachanim. Okay, on Yom Kippur, we say the Yud Gimel Midois Horachanim multiple times. Hashem, Hashem, Kel Rachum, Lechanun. Obviously, there's something very special about the number 30. Yugimel is the Begematria Echad, one. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Echad is Begematria 13. And obviously, if it's Begematria 13 and Echad and Hashem is Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, it's the most person dies with the word Echad. Hashem Elokeinu, the last word of Hashma is Echad. It's about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's only one HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything comes back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the ultimate Echad. If obviously the number 13 is a very significant number. Now, we're not going to focus on the number 30. Maybe we'll do it tomorrow, we'll see. But right now, I want to focus on what we have in this week's parasha. In this week's parasha, Klal Yisrael, unfortunately, worshipped the Egel. And Hashem wanted to destroy the Jewish people. And Moshe was mispalel to Hashem. And Moshe was successful. And part of the success, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he taught Moshe Rabbeinu the Yud Gimel Midois of Rachamim, which we like to refer to as Hashem, Hashem, Kel Rachum Lechanun, Erech Apayim, Rav Chesed Ve'emes, Leitzer Chesed Lo Alefim, Nosei Avon Vafesha, V'chato'o, V'na'ke, and we stop right there. Now, somehow, some way, what I just said, what I just rattled off, in that expression that I rattled off, you can break it down into 13 parts. Now, the truth is, that's not so simple. Who says that it starts? Who says that it starts with the words Hashem, and who says it ends with the word Vinakei?
Who gave it the name the 13?
Excellent. So you're touching upon whoever said the number.
That's a random thing. That's why.
Are you saying very good? Whoever said the number 13 is sacred with regard to Hashem teaching Moshe?
Well, the number 13. Maybe it's just a biological thing.
So
you.
So what is the midaya? There's a machlekes. You look at the mafarshim when it says in the echad miyodea, echad miyodea, the last of the echad miyodea is 13. Shloish also miyodea. Shloish also midaya. So there are two interpretations. Some say it means the yud gimel midas sarachamim, and some say it means the yud gimel midas shatar nidreshes. If you look in the Haggadah, they're divided. Midah just means midas. Midas of what? Midas of rachamin or midas shatayra nidreshes. In the piyut, on Pesach night. Ask the Arab, today when you go on the street, stop an average person and say, do you know the piyut echad miyodea? When you come to the number 13, what does it mean midaya? You will see, as an average person on the street, 50% will tell you it's the Yud Gimel Midois Shatora Nidreshes, Kal Vachoymer Gzeira Shava Binyin Av Mishneksum Kosim Echad Vulu Vulu, and some will tell you it's the Yud Gimel Midois of Rachamim. So what is it?
Can I throw one more into this?
Yes, yes.
there's a pasuk am zu yotzarti li that is explained as zu is 13, meaning the shvatim, including Levi.
Okay, another 13. Look, I got a whole book here. I got a whole book here on this.
So it's a number, right?
I can give you over here probably at least there are at least 200, maybe even more, of examples of the number 13.
That would be a lucky number then.
There are so many of the gimels, obviously, it would seem that it's a very lucky number. Maybe tomorrow
my question is it something we're reading into that doesn't exist?
Excellent. You're saying, let me ask you a more basic question. You can ask this question.
All gematria is like that.
You can ask, that's a gematria. So there are different types of gematria. You're right. When it comes to gematrias, you have to be very, very careful. There are certain gematrias that are sacred, that are part of the Mesorah, and then they just start playing games. Okay, you take out Shakespeare, translated into Hebrew, you can find a lot of very interesting gematrias. Okay, the Bible codes. If you skip every certain number of letters in sequence, you'll come up with an incredible sequence of this world. So if you take Shakespeare and you'll skip every 50 letters from this page, guess what? It's going to predict if there's going to be a war between the Ukraine and the Russia
tomorrow?
Okay, there's going to be. So these people have been very critical of this. Everything you want to go without, there's not a shit box. Everything you ask a question, you want to play around with numbers, whatever with gematrias. The more time you spend trying to find the gematria, you'll find something. Does it have any meaning? No, it doesn't. It doesn't have any meaning. You'll say, oh, bye-bye, it's a coincidence. There's no coincidence. Yeah, there's no coincidence. It's a coincidence. It's in a different league. There are very few gematrias that are part of tradition, part of Mesorah, which we go back to Har Sinai. One of the most basic gematrias is a Nazir. A Nazir, his term of Naziris, is 30 days. How do we know that? I already forgot. It's a gematria. Anyone remember the gematria? Yeah. Nazir Yihyeh. Yihyeh is the gematria 30. Two yuds and two hays is 30. Nazir Yihyeh. It's in the Gemara. It's in the Gemara. It's part of the Mesorah. How do you know that if a person says, Hareini Nazir, he is a Nazir for 30 days, not a day less, not a day more? It's a gematria. The very few of these. You can count them on your hand. How many of these type of gematrias that there really are the whole B'chola Torah Kula? Everything after that, it's very nice, but don't get too worked up about it. We have a lot of gematrias from the Baalei HaTorim. Okay, the Baalei HaTorim was a Rishon, from the early Rishon. Listen, don't get worked up about gematrias. These are very powerful.
Way more in the Rokeach.
The Rokeach, he has a whole section here in the Sefer on the Rokeach. He gives it a whole, he compares the Rokeach.
There are thousands of gematrias.
In the Rokeach. On the number 13 alone, in this index, in the back of this Sefer, he has the number 13 in Chumash, in Chamish Chumshei Torah, the number 13 in Mishnayis, the number 13 in the Gemara, the number 13 in Midrashei Chazal, the number 13 in the Zohar, the number 13 in the Mishnayim Nachem, and he has a section to himself, the number 13 in the Rokeach. What?
What's the first one? Which is the first 13 in Chamishon Shetara? Which one?
There are 13 items of donation for the Mishkan. Zahav, Kesef, Unchoyshes, Tchelis, Ardom, Tlashani.
What is this Sefer?
This is a Sefer called Ben Yud Gimel. Ben Yud Gimel. This was published in the year 2015.
By
Weiss. I don't know who he is. Eliyahu Wolf. Where does he live? He lives in Baltimore. 409 Yeshiva Lane. In Neri Yisrael. What?
This is a Rebbe.
401 is 30, 409. 409
is 13.
You hear what he just said?
It's 13.
No. It's 13. 409 is 13. Wow, that's hilarious.
That's a zip code too.
That's hilarious. That's really hilarious. Let's move on. I want to discuss the Yud Gimel Midas Rachamim. Well, let's move on for now. Now, Hashem says to Moshe, Hashem teaches Moshe Rabbeinu the Yud Gimel Midos Harachan. Let me open the pasuk. Mr. Cohen, very kind, give me a chumash. Help me out here. Hashem, Moshe is misfal to Hashem, and Hashem says, I'm not going to show the Jewish people. In fact, I'm going to teach, I'm going to forgive them. And sorry?
Fourth and fifth of
the year. Okay, you know, that's not your standards. That's not, you tell me chapter and verse. You, this is the first time you're telling me, oh, it's approximately fourth of Aliyah. That's unacceptable. It has to be, I have to have precision from you where we expect higher standards. Okay, here we are. We have over here, Hashem comes down, and Vayavar Hashem al-Panav, Vayikra Hashem, here it is. Okay. Vayered Hashem be'onon. Hashem comes down in a cloud. Vayisyatsev imoishon. How do you translate those words? Who stood? Who is the subject of Vayisyatsev? Is Imo. He stood with him. Who? Is Hashem the one who is standing with Moshe, or is Moshe standing with Hashem? It's machlokes rishonim. Okay, different opinion. To do different ways. Shom. There. Vayikra. Who called? Did Hashem call out, or did Moshe call out? Machloikis. Everything in this pasuk is a machloikis. Mi Omar el mi. This is the greatest question to ask a child in school. Mi Omar el mi. When it says Vayikra, is it Moshe? He said to Hashem, or did Hashem say? Well, they're both valid. The different interpretations. Look at the Rash, look at the Unkelus, look at the Targum Yenisim and Uziel, you look at the Ramban, you look at the Rishonim. Everyone has different opinions. Who said what? B'shem Hashem. But it basically means when everything is said and done, both Moshe and Hashem were standing. How could you say Hashem stood? What does that mean, Hashem stood? What does that mean exactly? And it says, Vayikra, who called out? Did Hashem call out to Moshe? Or did Moshe, did HaKadosh Baruch Hu put into Moshe nevuah? It was a prophecy. And Moshe was, he had a vision. And Moshe, he called out the Yud Gimel Midos Sarachaneh. And he called out in the name of Hashem. And what Vayavar, and then it says, Vayavar Hashem al panav, Vayikra. Okay, again, who's the Vayikra? Same disagreement. Who's Vayikra? And then it begins, Vayikra Hashem, Torach Lechanan. And it goes on, and in the middle of the pasuk, we see something very bizarre. Vinakei. How can we stop in the middle of the pasuk when we, on the tiny Sibur, when the Baal Kriya lanes this pasuk, the Tzibur right away shouts out Hashem, Hashem, and they stop smack in the middle of a pasuk, v'nakei Hashem forgives. That's not what it says in the pasuk. It says v'nakei lo yinakei. Hashem does not forgive. So what are we doing over here? First of all, we're violating a basic principle called psuko de pasuk Moshe Rabbeinu anan lo paskina. You're not allowed to stop in the middle of a pasuk. Number two, the pasuk when it says v'nakei lo yinakei, the simple interpretation is to say that Hashem does not forgive. And here we are reading it as Vinakei, Hashem forgives. By the way, what is the difference between the word Vinakei and the word Mechila, Slicha, Kapara? There are a lot of vocabulary words, a lot of synonyms, which for us are all the same. Most people, you can't differentiate between the word, between Slicha, Mechila, Kapara, Vinakei. What do these things, what do these words mean? And then it goes on to say, Poiked, Avoin, Ovois, Albonim, there's going to be punishment. And then we go further, and then we go to the next there's more forgiveness. What in the world is going on over here? Okay, there's a lot going on. First of all, literally, there must be, in the very least, 10 Rishonim that disagree as to which words in this sequence of psukim are, in fact, the 13. Now, let's take a step back. We got into the discussion, I got distracted. The numbers, what are these numbers? Mr. Marillas was touching upon them. What are these numbers all about? 13. Who said this 13? They're psukim. Don't count. Who's asking maybe you to count? Maybe there's 15, maybe there's 20.
Classified 13, so
yeah, who classified? Who made up the number 13? Take a step back. We discussed this a few times. Taryag mitzvahs. Who says this Taryag mitzvahs? Who says? Asara Haruge Malchus. Who says there are 10? If you look in the Piyutim, when Tisha B'Av, we're talking about this, is that today we have on record 42 Piyutim from the period of the Paitonim, from the Middle Ages. 42 Piyutim we have on record, at least. I have a sefer that has someone who did enormous research on the Asara Haruge Malchus, and he presents 42 piyutim that were composed by the greatest recognized members of Klal Yisrael to eulogize, to mourn, to reflect upon the Asara Haruge Malchus. And guess what? All of the Paitanim who are from the Rishonim, many of them are from the Rishonim, they have a different list of 10 people who died, who had the Asara Haruge Malchus. If you will combine them all together, there are approximately 23 candidates for the Asara Haruge Malchus. In fact, when we say on Tisha B'Av only has 8, some of them are missing. When we recite on Tisha B'Av, only mentions 8 of the 10. What happened to the other 2? So supposedly there's an error, there's a got lost, and we have supposedly the missing line, and we add another 2, and those some have a good machzor, a good kinos for Tisha B'Av, they'll have in the footnotes, they'll have the missing line that's mysteriously disappeared, but here it is, you can put it back into the kina to go off from 8 to 10. After all, we're describing the Asara Haruge Malchus.
Why can't it be 13?
Exactly. So what does it come from, the number? So this is a topic of a discussion. Whoever says it has to be the number 10, you want to say that it corresponds to Mechiras Yosef. Because the Mechira says that there were 10 people that participated in the Mechira. There were 9 brothers and Yosef. 10. And many of the Midrashim tell us that the Asara Haruge Malchus is an atonement for Mechiras Yosef. How does that work? This Gilgul Neshama? What's going on over here? This is not something that we talk about. You don't go for the Hamoinan. In the Nusach HaTzila, you don't do this. Go and say that Zelu Mazeh, maybe for the Mikubalim. But what is this all about? I really don't know.
Rabbi, it could be 8 is because Reuven wasn't there. So you have 8.
Nine.
No, they have no. Reuven participated in the beginning. He was there. This is not for now. Let's not go off on tangents that much. There's a number system. Very often we find numbers, and we accept these numbers as some type of divine fact. These numbers have to be present. You can't play around with the number 7. There are 7 days in creation. 6 days of Malach Uvyon Hashvi'i Shavas Vayinafash. You can't play around with the Aseres HaDibros. There are Aseres HaDibros. It says in the Pasuk, even though the Aseres HaDibros have multiple commandments. Aseres HaDvarim. Aseres HaDvarim. And those are they called Dibros? Are they called Dibros? No.
Mistake.
Fine. Only Aseres HaDvarim. 10 Dvarim. How many commandments are there? A lot more than 10. In the Aseres HaDvarim, there's probably at least 15, maybe more commandments. So when you hear, they advertise the movie, the 10 commandments, that's a lie. There are a lot more than 10 commandments in the Aseres HaDvarim. There are a lot more than 10. There are Asara Ma'amorois, but in each Ma'amor, how many commands were there in each Ma'amor? More than 10. Okay, Taryag Mitzvahs. Who made up Taryag Mitzvahs? It's in the Gemara. The Gemara says we have a tradition. We have a tradition that there are 613. If you, now what are the Taryag Mitzvahs? Well, we have the Chinuch, and we have the Rambam, Sefer HaMitzvahs, and we have the Ramban, and we have the Smag, and the Smak, and probably a lot more who made calculations from the early times of what are the Taryag Mitzvahs. And guess what? They're very different. If you were to combine all of the mitzvahs of the Rambam, the Ramban, the Chinuch, the Smag, and the Smak, you probably have probably close to at least 300, at least 700-800 mitzvahs. Okay?
Well, I was important to them to listen. Well, what's the importance of listening to Taryag Mitzvahs?
So, there is
a lot of time, obviously, going through and deciding what to
do. Obviously, there is a value. You're asking a very good question. Obviously, there is a value to conquer, to clarify. By putting things in number, it provides clarity. If everything is just abstract, then there is confusion and there is a loss of understanding. Talmidei Chachamim, in Chazal's terminology, are called Soifrim, which we like to translate as scribes. But that's not the correct translation. It means counters, like in Count Dracula. Counters. Talmidei Chachamim are called counters. They like to count. They like to put everything in numbers. How many mitzvahs are there? Well, if you combine the Rambam, the Ramban, the Smag, the Chinuch, you'll have very likely 700-800 mitzvahs. Because they disagree. They disagree. What do you call a mitzvah? What do you don't call a mitzvah? So take what is unique to each one of these counters, you'll come up with a total number of 800 mitzvahs. Yet, Chazal tell us, we have a tradition, there are 613. Another 13. Another 13.
I just said this morning, an economist said that if you can count something, it's finite, you can control it.
Okay. Maybe that's exactly the point. You're saying something very deep. Because Chazal, the Torah, you're saying something very powerful, because the Torah was given to man. Torah lav b'shamayim. The one who makes the decisions in halacha are the Talmidei Chacham in this world. If there's a question, you go to Shemayim and you ask them, what's the halacha? Is this kosher or not kosher? A new candy bar comes out. Is it kosher or not kosher? You go to Shemayim, the Bez and Shalmailam. We don't know. We don't make decisions here. They make decisions down on earth.
Oh, you.
They make decisions down on earth. So you're saying very good. We here on this earth have to know how to count because we need to control it. Exactly. We control the narrative. We control the halacha, the Torah, lavashamayim. It's critical to make a count. So there is a Messiah, there's 613. Okay, now, you've touched upon something very interesting because the truth is, there is really a machlokes in the Gemara. It's a medrash in Tehillim. How many midos of rachamim are there really? There's a machlokes. One opinion says 13, one says 10. 10 midos. Let me read it to you. And another says, there are, I don't remember what it says, but let me turn to the right page. How many midos are there really? Medrash and Tehillim.
It doesn't say in the Torah that these are the Ten Commandments.
It says Aseres HaDedaseh. It says Aseres HaDedorim. Moshe Rabbeinu, you see, when there's a pasuk, then there's no room to wiggle.
So it's not poetic
license. Right, there's no, it depends, it all depends. Certain things we have come along and we have invented. Even the number 613, where does it come from, that number? It's a Gemara. The Gemara is, but where did the Gemara get it from? A Medrash. You have to, it doesn't say anywhere in the Torah, in Tanakh, the number 613.
But the Gemara says there's a tradition that's
it. Right, so where did the Gemara get, the Gemara also has to have a source. The Gemara is not the beginning of the Gemara. Everything in the Gemara has a source. Psikta, it comes from the early Medrashei Halacha or Medrashei Agada. Everything in the Gemara also has to be sourced. And then there are certain things the Gemara acknowledges there is no source. It's Halacha L'Moshe Misina. There are certain things that are pure, pure tradition. So this number that we live with, 613, where does it come from? Where does it come from? It comes from. Us. Okay, that's all part of this calculation. Here is a medrash. The medrash is a medrash Tehillim in Mizmor Tzadi Gimel. Which medrash is this? I don't know. It doesn't say anything. It says the medrash Tehillim. Ramachol, what does that mean? When it says here a medrash Tehillim, what does that refer to? Medrash Shoicher Toiv.
Yes.
Okay.
Hang on. I mean, yeah, that's right.
Medrash Shoicher Toiv, Mizmor Tzadi
Gimel. It's known by both names.
Okay. Mizmor Tzadi Gimel. Pluxa, there's a machlokes. I'll read the words. Omar Rebbe Simoin, Yud Gimel Midois BeHakadosh Baruch Hu. Shenemar, Hashem Rachum Lechanun. That's all it says. It doesn't give the whole list. Rav Omar Yud Aleph, 11 Midois. The Rabbanan Amrei Eser, 3 opinions. Okay, there are three opinions in the Medrash Shocher Toiv as to how many midas of Rachamim are there. No one ever heard of this. You ask the average person how many midas of Rachamim are there, they'll tell you 13. Anything else, you come from a different world. 11? Go back to kindergarten. 11 midas of Rachamim? Where do you come from?
People don't learn that Medrash. What can I tell you about?
There are three opinions. 13, 11, or 10. We accept 13. Okay, very good. 13, wonderful. Now, what are the 13? So the 13 are somewhere hidden in these psukim by Avraham Shem Alpana by Yikra Hashem Hashem for Rachel Nechanan. I has here in this sefer at least 10 opinions as to how you calculate, you break up these psukim into 13 parts. No one agrees. There's Rabbeinu Tam, and then there is Tosfos, there's the Arizal, Sefer Hasidim, the Ibn Ezra, the Rikatni, the Maral, Rabbeinu Nisim. It goes on and on. Everyone has their own way of figuring out what are the 13 Midos Sarachanim. Now,
Rambam, he was asked about the Yukidal Midos.
Yeah.
I'm asking, why, whether the Rambam has a tshuva about the Yukidal.
And what does he say? I didn't see that here. I mean, I didn't do full research. I'm just a little preparation. I didn't come across that. I didn't come across that Rambam, that Teshuvah. But maybe it's here. The big. The statement I'm using is Rabbi Tezner, Sha'ari Yonim Hayonim Hanoi Roim. And in the back, he has a kuntris on the Yud Gimel Midas Rachamim. I'm sure it must be here somewhere. I just focused on a very small section of this kuntris, of the Yud Gimel Midas Rachamim. There are many opinions. Now, let me just touch upon now, even after you're going to put the commas in the right place, you're going to have to spend your entire life figuring out what exactly each one of the 13 midos means. But first, before you get to figuring out what it means, why don't we first put the commas in the right place? So let's just discuss a few little simple things. One is really based upon what we learned today in the morning, which, I mean, it's only because we're in the morning, I want to mention it, because I came across something else which is very similar, which shocked me. The Hashgacha Pratz of learning this at the same time, these two topics. And that is, the first topic is the two names, Hashem, Hashem. Many of the commentators, not all, I can't even say it's the most, but what we are very familiar with, probably Rashi says this, is the first midah is Hashem, and the second midah is Hashem. By Avar Hashem Alpana by Yikra, Hashem, Hashem. The same exact Yud Kei Vav Kei. These count as two separate midos of rachamim. What does that mean exactly? How could they be both the same mitzvah rachamim? So what do we say? So everyone knows this. Hashem is koidim achet. Hashem is achar achet. Rashi says, Hashem, Hashem. Rashi's comments. Midas rachamim hi. Rashi clearly is of the opinion that the first mentioned Yud Kei Vav Kei is the first in the list of number 13. That Rabbi Simoin says in Medrash Tehillim, and this comes from a Sifrei. Okay, what's the source for this? This is a Medrash Halacha, Sifrei. Sifrei is the Medrash Halacha on Chumash Bamidbar and Chumash Devarim. And this comes from Parashas Bo Eschanan. Achas Koidim Sheyecheto, V'achas La'achar Sheyecheto, the Yoshev. Hashem has Rachmanis on a person before he does the Aveira. What does that mean? Hashem knows in advance what you're going to do. So, again, this is subject to interpretation. You can spend your whole life trying to delve into the depth of what this really means. And if Hashem would not have Rachmanis on the person in advance, knowing that he's going to do an Aveira, man wouldn't survive a day. If Hashem knows that this person is going to do an Aveira, so Hashem will strike him out, will knock him out immediately.
So is this Hashem saying to Moshe, Moshe saying to Hashem? We don't know.
It's both together. Hashem is giving Moshe prophecy. Either Hashem is speaking, to Moshe, or Hashem is putting in Moshe's mind these concepts, and Moshe is revealing it. Prophecy. What is prophecy? Prophecy is Hashem is speaking through the Navi. So either it means Moshe is listening, Hashem is by Yikra, Hashem is speaking, Moshe is listening to Hashem, Or it means Hashem is inspiring Moshe to say these words. Moshe is a prophet. So it doesn't matter. It's going to be the same anyway. And what is...
According to the Trump,
there's a psik. There's a psik. The Rashi says, it says Hashem is a mercha. Hashem. I'm sorry. It's a munach. The first Hashem is a munach. Then there's a psik. There's a vertical line. Vayikra, vayavor Hashem al pono vayikra. Now we begin. Hashem as a munach. Then there's a psik, and then there is again Hashem, which has a zokef katon.
Does the vayikra go with Hashem or vayikra?
Okay, that's all part of the discussion. That's all part of there are so many opinions. I just want to present you one of the issues, and I want to relate it to something we learned this morning, and I want to relate it to another very popular pasuk, which to me is very fascinating. I'll share with you. Hashem, according to Rashi, and according to many of the Rishonim, they go with the Sifrei. It's a Medrash Halacha, a much earlier source, in Parashas Veschanan, that says that the first Hashem in this pasuk is the first of the Yud Gimel Midas Sarachanim, and the second Hashem is the second of the Yud Gimel Midas Sarachanim. What's the difference? Exactly the same word, Yud Kei Vav Kei, you'll say, but there's a different melody? That's a very good point. They have a different melody. Different melody. The melody changes, it's a different Hashem. So what is the Midah? The Hashem has Rachmanis upon a person even before he does the Aveira. I'm sorry, Michal, I lost you this. Michal, you have to unmute yourself. Hashem has Rachmanis on a person even before he does the Avera.
So one's Koidim, one's Acha.
And the second one is after he does the Avera, Hashem has Rachmanis upon him. That's what one is before Rashi. Midas Rachmani, Achas, Koidim Sheyecheta, the Achas, Le'achas Sheyecheta, the Yoshuv. Okay, that's Rashi. Many of Rishonim disagree with Rashi. They don't go, and they say, it can't be that one to repeat Hashem's name twice counts as two of the 13. For whatever the reason, we're going to limit it to number 13. We're not going to go over 13. Whatever the reason, like what you wanted to say, you want to control it. You can't control something unless you're able to count it. Okay, so we're limited to number 13. Rashi, we don't like what you have to say. No way. Don't go tell me we're going to take Hashem, two words, which are exactly the same spelling, and we're going to count them as two different midas of Rachamim, and with this esoteric concept that Hashem knows the future, and Hashem has Rachmanis upon you before you do the Avera. This is, this is heavy stuff. This is not for the faint of heart. Not everyone is so sophisticated to delve into the future, to repeat words. You know what? I'll give you two choices. Either these are not yet the Midas of Rachamim. Then Hashem, Kel, those next three words, they're not part of the list. The first item on the list is going to be the word Rachum. Rachum means mercy. It's not called Yud Gimel Midas HaRachamim for nothing. Doesn't it make sense in your eyes that you would title the number, the 13, the list of 13, after the first one? So the first one we're going to start with is going to be Rachum. Oh, what does it say? It says Hashem Kel. That's just an address, that's a title. Vayikra will assume that it's Moshe. Moshe called out, Hashem Kel. Moshe sees Hashem. He sees the Shekhinah has arrived. And Moshe says, oh, Hashem. In the same way Hashem called out to Moshe, Moshe. The same way Hashem called out to Avraham, Avraham. The same way Hashem called Yaakov. It's Lashon Chiba. There are many times you have it by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when Hashem calls out to a person, Hashem repeats his name out of love. Hashem, Avraham.
But it wouldn't have a separation in between.
It wouldn't. Right, we'll find a solution for everything. Don't worry. We'll find a solution for that. Much bigger problems to find solutions for. According to this approach, Hashem, Kel, these three words, this is just an intro. The rabbi is here. We want to welcome the rabbi. Rabbi, take it over. Please address us. And Hashem begins. Now I'm going to tell you the Yud Gimel Midos. Number one. You ready? Number one. Write it down. Take out your pen and paper. Rachum. It makes a lot of sense, right? That's why it's called the Yud Gimel Midos of Rachamim. No? Isn't that fair? Isn't that fair? Now, wait a minute. If you're going to tell me that we're going to start with Rachum, let's be nice now. Let's assume everything else will put the commas in the same place. You're short three. Because if we're going to end with Vinake, you're short by how many? Three. We've gone down. We've knocked out Hashem, Hashem, Kel. So how many are we down to?
Ten.
Oh, by the way, that's very good. That fits very well with the Medrash, with the third opinion. That says there are only 10 midas of Rachamim. But listen, Rabbi Simoin says 13. You know, you can't fight with Rabbi Simoin. So you know what? Where's the 13? Where you get the 13? So you know, so the answer is at the very end. After Hashem was saying, Al Shile Shin, the Al Ribeyim. And all of a sudden, Moshe jumps in. Vayimahar Moshe. Vayikoyt Arza Vayishtochu. Now, by the way, I saw in a Sefer, why does Moshe interrupt Hashem? So I don't know what this means, and this is not the purpose of the shir now. It's because Hashem was about to say the Al Chameshim. Hashem said, Hashem is poiked, avoin ovois al bonim, the al bnei vonim, al shleishim, the al ribeim, the al chameshim. No, Hashem, Moshe interrupted Hashem, that Hashem should not say Al Chameshim. So that's why we have a disturbance here. We have an outburst. We have an outburst in the chamber. There's an outburst. So Moshe jumped. And then Hashem finishes off the last three. V'solachto la'avoneinu, that's one. Ulechatosenu is two. Unechaltonu is three. You know who says this? The Sefer Chassidim. And others as well. The Sefer Chassidim says, do you know what the Yud Gimel Midas of Rachamim are? It starts with Rachum, and it goes to Vinakeh, and that gives you 10. And then there's a little break. And then there's Visolachta La'avanenu, that's one. Ulechatosenu is two. Unechaltonu is three. Why am I telling you this? Why is this relevant? On a tiny sibur, when the Baal Kriya lanes, Vayavar Hashem, Vayavar Hashem al ponov, Vayikra. And what happens? Everyone in the tzibur, Hashem, Hashem, Kol Rachum, V'chan Erech Hapayim, Rav Chesed, Yem, Esnoit, Sechesed, La'alofim, Nois, Om, Afesh, V'chatov, V'nakei. 13. Right? Then he continues. The next Aliyah, he continues. I know this is part of the same Aliyah. And then the Baal Kriya goes on. Vayoy merim no, matzasi chayin b'yenech Hashem, yelech no Hashem b'kibenu, ki am kishay oyref hu. And the tzir goes, v'esolachto, v'avadenu l'chato seinu, unichaltonu. Why does the tzibur say those words?
Continuation.
We're done already. We did it already. We already Hashem, Hashem, Kel. We can't count. We already counted 13. Why does the tzibur respond in the middle of Kriya Satorah with this solachta la'avoneinu ulechato sein unechaltonu? Makora. What's going on? What happened? So you know what he wants to say? We really don't know what the 13 midos harachanim are. There are many, many opinions. But from the most popular opinions are these two opinions. Is Rashi and the Sefer Chassidim. Now, Sefer Chassidim is a latecomer. I don't know where the Sefer Chassidim plays a role in practical halacha regarding Minhag Yisrael. But it could be that it's not just the Sefer Chassidim. There are other commentators that say the same idea. In order to cover all grounds, maybe Hashem, Hashem Kel is not part of the Yud Gimel Midas Sarachanim. And it really begins with Rachum. That's where it starts. So if we want on a tiny Sibur to pray to Hashem that He should show us the 13 Midas of Rachamim, we gotta say them all. So this might not be it. This is only 10 of the 13. Where are the last three? The last three are V'solachta la'avoinenu u'lechatosenu u'nechaltanu. So if that's the case, so we should begin when during Kriya Satorah, when should we begin to call out and to say we should start with Rachum? We should not say Hashem, Hashem Kel. But we don't really know. We're not really sure. There are different opinions. Now, if you want to be concerned for all of the opinions, so why don't you just say all the psukim? Because there are many opinions that include that you don't stop right there. Part of the Yud Gimel Midas Sarachim are including V'nakeh Lo Yinakeh, Peikeid, Alvayin Avos, Alban. That's also a racham, an element of rachamim. Yal Bnei Vanim, Yal Shleishim, Yal Yibayim. So why don't we say the whole pasuk? So the answer is because that's a nice pshat, but it's not accepted to be the basic halacha.
I'm speaking to you. When I'm speaking to you, before I speak, I could say Rabbi Levine. So they're saying Hashem.
Exactly.
As an address.
Exactly. It's not part of the...
Just an address.
So that's another answer. Really, we know what we're doing. Really, we're following the Sefer HaChassidim. And the Ikor Yud Gimel Midas Sarachamim begin with the word Rachum V'chamim. And the last three are V'solach L'lav V'neinu U'lechat V'sein M'chal Tonim. And the reason why we say Hashem, Hashem Kel, that's our intro. You just don't make demands of Hashem. Hashem, show us Rachamim. You say, Rabbi Hashem. Rabbi Hashem. Hashem, Hashem Kel. And now we begin. We first say 10, and then we let the Baal Kriya say the psukim in the middle, and then we finish off with the last three to come to the hashlama of 13, like the Taryag mitzvot. There's a nice round number 600, and then we have an additional 13. We have a nice round number of 10, and then we have the last three. It's really 10 and 3. According to the Sefer Hasidim, don't look at the Yud Gimel Midas Harachamim as 13. Look at it as 10 and 3. That might provide some clarity. Because the number 13 is a very bizarre number. Where does the number 13 come from? If you'll tell me that it's really 10, 10 I like. Because there are Asar Mamorois Nivra Ha'olam, and they're the Aseres HaDevarim. The number 10 is a really good number. That's a nice number. The number 3 is also a nice number. B'shloish Dvarim Ha'olam Ha'imeit. Ala Ha'toyra V'ra'olam Ha'sadim. This Avim Yitzchak Yaakov. Maybe the 3 is a summary of the 10. If you break up, when you look at it in this way, you're changing the whole relationship, the whole understanding of the Yud Gimel Midos Sarachanim. We just call it 13. And the common man assumes that we start with Hashem and we end with Vinakeh. And Hashem, Hashem, Kel are already 3. You're ahead of the game. And right away you ask the question, what's the first Hashem? How does the first Hashem differ than the second Hashem? What does it mean exactly? Rashi, I have Rachmanis Koidem Achit. Hashem knows the future. And in Hashem's world, if Hashem knows the person in the future is going to do an Avera, Hashem should punish the person in advance. Hashem has Rachmanis. Hashem, even though in his world he knows the future, Hashem does not punish a human being in advance. No such thing. That itself is an expression of Rachamim. Hashem, after a person sins, Hashem has Rachmanis. Kel is another type of Rachmanis. Racham is another type. Okay, go down that line. When you get to the word V'nakeh, you have already achieved 13 midos of rachamim. And that's what we do when we say slichos. When we recite slichos, we don't say v'solach l'avim l'chassin. We don't scream that out. Some do. Some say the whole thing. Some stop v'nakeh. But when we let, so why then by kriyas haTorah are we again reciting in the tzibur v'solachta l'avoneinu u'lechatoseinu l'chaltanu? Because you know what? There's a machlekes. In the Rishonim, what exactly are the Yud Gimel Midos Sarachanim? Maybe you have already said them. Or maybe you only said 10 of the 13, and the first three words was just an introduction to have respectfully introduce yourself to Hashem. And now you finish off the last three, V'solach l'avoneinu u'lechatasim l'chaltanu. And we also derive another powerful concept, that there's a break between the first 10 and the last three. It's not 13, it's really 10 plus a summary of three. Okay, that's one point I want to make. That is another point I want to make. There's another set of Rishonim that are in between Rashi and the Sefer Chassidim. And they say the first Hashem is not part of the Yud Gimel Midos Sarachim. It is not. The second Hashem is the first. It cannot be that when you repeat a Hashem, Hashem, each one is a Midah. And as you mentioned, there's a psik. There's a vertical line in the Chumashim, in the Mesorah, between the first Hashem and the second Hashem. What's the vertical line? In essence, it's saying, when you begin Hashem, we want to introduce, we want to welcome to our shul, our shir, the Ribbono Shel Olam, as our scholar in residence. And without further ado, we ask the Ribbono Shel Olam to address us. The first Hashem is the address. The second Hashem is number one. Then it's Kel, and then you're going to break up Erech Apayim, you're going to break up Erech and Apayim. You'll make from the next 12, you'll make into you from the next next 9, you'll make what do I say? The next 11, you'll make whatever it is. You'll somehow break up two words which we commonly assume is one meter. You'll make it now into another. So you'll have, by the time you get to the word Venakeh, you'll have 13. Now, I want to suggest, now before I tell you what my suggestion, which is not worth anything, he says over here something very, very fascinating. Very famous pasuk. We have over here, in he quotes here, Tosfos. This is Tosfos, and he quotes a psikta. Okay, this is the Tosfos, is quoting a psikta, pasuk in Yeshaya, that is the Haftarah, this is one of the Shiv Nechemta. This is Shiv Nechemta. Vatoymer Tzion, Azovani Hashem, VaHashem Shechechon. Hashem has abandoned me, and Hashem has forgotten about me. In this pasuk, Hashem's name appears twice. They're juxtaposed. And the psikta says, Hashem has Azovani, has abandoned me, and Hashem has forgotten about me. So here he's saying, I have to read this again very carefully because I'm getting a little confused. But here he's saying, look, this I'm telling you because this was inspired me, so I'm about to tell you in a moment. The psikta is addressing, is seemingly going with the Sifrei, with Rashi quotes, that Hashem are two separate midos of Rachamim. Rashi told us the approach, the first Hashem is before the Chet. The second Hashem is Achar HaChet. The Psikta says no. Look at this pasuk in Yeshaya. Yeshaya uses Hashem's name in relation to two different expressions. Hashem, you have abandoned me. Hashem, you have forgotten me. And he's basically saying is that it's not true. Yeshaya is complaining. Yeshaya is trying really to evoke. What happened? What happened to the two midos of Hashem, Hashem? The first midah of Hashem is Hashem never abandons you. The second midah of Hashem, Hashem never forgets you. What's the difference between abandoning a person and forgetting a person? I leave that to you to think about. Look at the Mepharshim. They're two different concepts. There are times when HaKadosh Baruch Hu a person abandons something, and there are times you don't abandon it, but you forget about it. Yeshaya is complaining, Hashem, what happened? Don't we have the Yud Gimel Midos Harachanim? And the first two Midos are Hashem, Hashem. Hashem does not abandon, and Hashem does not forget. So you see here that the Psit is learning Hashem. Hashem has two different midos. Two different midos. And not like Rashi in the Sifrei that one is before the Chet, one is after the Chet. The Psit learns the first Hashem is a concept of Hashem never abandons, and the second Hashem, Hashem never forgets. Now, why was this so fascinating to me, this Psikta? Because he found another pasuk in Tanakh, and he plugged it in. He plugged it in. Oh, you have a lot of different, I have a lot of different cables at home, the Torah anytime. A whole box of cables. Spaghetti. And they all have different plugs. If it fits, it fits. If it doesn't fit, it doesn't fit. You have to know where to put the plug. Which plug fits into which port. Look at that. He found the pasuk. Hashem, Hashem. Hashem. Vatoymer tzin azavani Hashem, Hashem shichichani. What does that mean? You know what it means? It's incredible what the Psikta says. Hashem, Hashem, kol rachamim v'chanun. What happened to the two leaders of rachamim? How could you abandon us? How can you forget us? That opens up a world of possibilities. What did we learn today in the morning? Mizmar Tes Zayin in Tehillim. Nichtam L'David. Amart LaHashem Hashem Otto. Hashem's name appears twice. It's not exactly twice, because the first time it's Amart La Hashem Yud Kei Vav Kei. Then it says Aleph Dalid Nun Yud. Don't confuse me with the facts. It says Amart La Hashem Hashem Otto. David addresses his neshama, and he says, neshama, I want you to declare regarding Yudke Vavke, I want you to make a declaration. The declaration you must make is Hashem. The way we pronounce Yudke Vavke is Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. You Hashem are my master. You are my master. So just like you see in Tehillim, in Mizmor Tes Zayin, the Hashem's name just twice. The pronunciation is the same. Obviously, the spelling here is not the same. And you know, by the way, it has to be a different spelling, because you know why? If it would be Hashem Hashem, then we would read it Hashem Elokim. Right? If you have Hashem's name twice, it's always Hashem Elokim. So in order that in this Mizmar, it should not be Hashem Elokim, it's spelled Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, which basically means it's Hashem Hashem. It's really like Yudke Vavke twice, to a degree. Otherwise, it's a whole different name. It's Hashem Elokim. So it's Amart La Hashem Hashem Otto. Here, it's unusual that in Yud Gimel Midah Sarachim, Hashem's name appears twice, Yudke Vavke, and you don't pronounce it Hashem Elokim. Think about it. Why not? Why don't we pronounce the Yud Gimel Midah Sarachim? There are two Yudke Vavkes back to back. It should be, according to the regular rules, it should be Hashem Elokim. It can't be that, because Elokim is Din. That's number one. And number two, the Mesoira is, there's a psik. That's why there's a psik. This is not Hashem Hashem. Because if it was Hashem Hashem, then it would be really Hashem Elokim. No, this is Rachamim. There's a psik. So it's Hashem and Nochamot. Hashem. Just like in Tehillim, where it's Amart La Hashem, Hashem Otto. What does the first Hashem mean, according to most of the commentators that we've been learning, is it's a statement. This is not yet part of its instructions. Amart, I am instructing either Knesset Yisrael or I am instructing my neshama regarding the topic of God. Regarding Hashem, I want to tell you, neshama, what you should do. I want you to make a declaration that Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, you are my master. Therefore, this fits very well with a whole collection of Mefarshim, that learn that the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim do not begin with the first Hashem, they begin with the second Hashem. Vayikra Hashem, sick, Hashem Kel Rachon. Vayikra Moshe called out to the Jewish people, or he called out to his neshama with regard to the Ribbono Shel Olam, that he is a Baal Rachamim. Hashem, he is Kel, he is Rachum, Chanun, Erech Apayim. Just like we learned today in Mizmor Tez Zayin, where David says, Nichtam LeDavid, Omart LaHashem, and it's clear, all in the Farshim, I am giving instructions to my neshama, or to Klal Yisrael, with regard to the Lord, that you should do the following, and you should declare that God is your master. It's exactly what it says in the Pasuk over here. From that we can understand how to read Pshat in the Pasuk over here, and this is exactly what many of the commentators actually say. Vayavor Hashem al ponav, Hashem passed before Moshe, Vayikra Hashem, kama. Moshe, he called out to Knesset Yisrael, he called out to his own neshama with regard to the Lord. We should all be aware that he is a being of rachamim. And what are the midas of his rachamim? Number one, he is a yudkei vavkei. Number two, he is a kel. Number three, he's rachum. He is chanun. He is erech. You have to now break them up. He is erech. He is apayin. He is rach chesed. He's emes. Neitze chesed lo alofim. Neitze avoin. Vafesha v'chata oven akei. So the same way in Mizmor Tez Zayin it's Omart LaHashem Hashem Oto. Same thing. Vayik vayavar Hashem alpanov vayikra Hashem kama. And now we begin the Yud Gimel Midos Sarachim. So in summary, what have we done today? In summary, over here we have this parasha of the Yud Gimel Sarachim. Is the number 13 sacred? Good question. We have a Mesoira Medrash Tehillim. There are three opinions, Rabbi Simoin and two other opinions. Are there 13, are there 11, or are there 10? We have a very interesting pasuk, Hashem Hashem Kel. What is that? If we want to go say those are only introductions, then it fits very well with the opinion that says there are exactly 10. Beautiful, then okay. If you want to say there are 13, then why is Hashem Hashem Kel of the 13? So we have Rashi. Rashi is a Sifrei. Koidim Achet, Acher Achet. We have a what did he say? Was it Tosefta? I forgot what we have over here. We have here a Psikta. The Psikta is a Medrash, and it says, no, not the Psikta. We have another opinion that says that Hashem Hashem Kel, that's the Hira Chosid, is not. That's an introduction. It begins with Rachum Nechanun. Where then you get the last three? The last three come later, after Moshe interrupts. It comes with V'solachta la'avoyneinu u'lichatosein u'nechaltanu. Wow! That explains the Minhag Yisrael. Why, by Kriyas HaTorah, we say that Pasuk as well. And then we have the opinion is 11, you're going to have to finagle to get 11 somehow. It's not so hard to get 11, you need different ways to get 11. And then we have this Psikta which says, Hashem, Hashem, not like what Rashi says, Koidim Achet, Acher Achet. It's Yeshaya, the Shivda Nechemta. Vatoymer Tzion Azavani Hashem, that's one Hashem. VaHashem Shecheichoni, Yeshaya is saying, what happened to the first two Midas of Rachamim? How could you abandon us? How could you forget us? And then we have a whole host, a whole collection of Yeshayim that say the first Hashem is not part of the list of the Yud Gimel. The first part is the introduction. Where do you have a makar for that? Look at Tehillim. Mizmar Tezayin. Michtam LeDavid. Amart LaHashem. Hashem Oto. Same way you have Hashem repeated. The first one is part of the intro. Vayikra Hashem. Moshe called out to his neshama, called out to Klal Yisrael. You should know the following information with regard to the Lord. He is a being of Rachamim. And what is the Rachamim? Now he continues to enumerate the 13 meters of Rachamim. Okay, Rabbi Sai, have a wonderful day. Thank you for coming. Amen. 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 Amen